May be seated.
Well, good morning, everyone. Greetings to you from Community Bible Church in Jackson, Wyoming. They send their greetings to you. And Kathy and I had a fantastic week this past week with the students at Jackson Hole Bible College teaching on philosophy and Christian worldview. But it's good to be back home worshiping with you. And I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to take a break from our Romans series and jump over to Ephesians chapter 6. We'll be back in Romans next week. So Ephesians chapter 6 in verse 10. As I was contemplating this particular Sunday, kind of a vision Sunday, this passage came to mind. I wanted to share it with you today. So I'm going to read verse 10 to 18 of Ephesians 6, where we hear about the armor of God. Here the Apostle Paul writes, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints." May the Lord add his blessing at the hearing and the reading of his word this morning. Have you ever been under spiritual attack? I know I have. In 2012, while Kathy and I were still serving in Budapest, Hungary, one fateful week, it became very clear that we and our church were under severe spiritual attack. Early on that week at an elder meeting, we found out that all the financial resources for our serving overseas had all but disappeared. Then on Thursday, our youth pastor had been mugged, having been targeted after going to an ATM machine and withdrawing over $2,000 for an upcoming outreach opportunity at the 2012 Olympic Games in England. After being attacked, our youth pastor woke up in the hospital the next morning, not having any idea what had happened to him the night before. And that Saturday, our car, an Opel Sapphire, which the church owned and provided for us, was stolen right in front of our house. And to top it all off, when we arrived at church that Sunday, someone had stolen the church's brand new and very expensive Ibanez bass guitar that I just purchased the week before for the church. You can imagine that as I stood to preach that Sunday, knowing that we were losing our opportunity and things are disappearing right in front of us, I was pretty rattled. It just seemed that everything was going the wrong way for us. All of us need to realize that we all are in for the fight of our lives. Sometimes it just seems that we are pressed down on every side and things often don't go the way we would like them to go. Setbacks, difficulties, problems, not enough resources, not enough time, too much drama, too many frustrations, too much inconvenience and aggravation. And on top of all this, sometimes it just seems that everyone around us is constantly opposing us while our circumstances seem like they're getting the best of us. We're always hoping that things will get better, but then it just seems that we're facing one setback after another and we can't get out of the downward cycle of attack, disappointment, and negativity. But as we'll see today, the Apostle Paul reminds us that all of us are right in the middle of a real war, a real spiritual battle that is raging all around us. For us to find victory in our lives, we need to see things the way they really are. We need to rest in his strength as we stand firm against the plans of the evil one, knowing that we are fighting an intense spiritual battle. We shouldn't be fighting with each other, But we should fight together against the evil spiritual forces that surround us. And we need to do all we can to make things better by putting on the whole armor of God, standing firm in our pursuit of truth and being careful to walk in righteousness. We need to be ready to share the gospel as we exercise our faith, protecting our minds as we skillfully wield God's word in our fight against evil. We need to constantly pray for our brothers and sisters as we fight this battle together. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15:57, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Near the very end of Paul's letter here to the Ephesians, he outlines for us the reality that all of us are in a spiritual battle that is raging all around us. It's my hope that through this study this morning that you'll be able to see things the way they really are in light of the spiritual battle that we're all facing. At the same time, that you'll be spurred on to do everything you can to make things better as you put on the whole armor of God as we wage war against the evil one. But before we study this passage, let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this moment that we have to be in your word, to dive into it, to dig into it, to take it for ourselves. Lord, we ask that you would be our teacher and our guide and that you would spur us on to trust you, not only as individuals, but as a church, to trust you in all things, following you, walking with you, growing together with you. So, Lord, thank you for this moment. As we study your word, we ask your blessing. We pray all this in your son's wonderful and awesome name. Amen. If you have your sermon notes outlined, here's the first truth of two. There's two, so don't miss it. Here's the first one. We need to see things the way they really are. It's very easy for us to look at the surface and think that, you know, well, I think I understand how what's really going on here. But you know what? There's really a lot more going on underneath the surface. And we need to see things the way they really are. First of all, we can do this through resting in his strength. Paul starts out this little passage on the armor of God in verse 10. He says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might." Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, he says. Well, how so? How can we be strong in the Lord? Well, we need to rest in the strength of his might, not resting in the strength of our own might, but resting in his might. Paul makes it very clear that any strength that we have is from the Holy Spirit within us. As we studied previously in Romans 3:16, Paul writes that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power. How? Through his spirit in your inner being. We just talked about that as we were singing that song that Sean mentioned. It's the Holy Spirit within us that makes the difference. He's the one who gives us the strength to wage war. With the Holy Spirit's power within us, everything is now possible. Paul says to the Philippian church, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." All things? Yeah, everything. On top of this, it's when we are at our weakest that he upholds us in his power all the more. Paul says to the Corinthians, "But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you." It's up on our wall. This is what it's all about. His grace is sufficient for us. Why? "For my power," that is God's power, "is made perfect." How? "In weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities." Have you had difficulties? Have you had some sovereign calamities? And yet you felt weak? It's his strength in you, through the power of his spirit. "For when I am weak, then I am strong," Paul says. Beloved, we need to see things the way they really are as we rest in his strength. Secondly, standing firmly against the plans of the evil one. We need to recognize that the evil one is just not just being evil. He's got a plan about it. He's trying to mess things up. Paul says in verse 11 of our passage today, "Put on the whole armor of God." We'll talk about that in a moment. But why should we put the whole armor of God on? "That you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil." You need to recognize that the evil one has a plan and he wants to trip you up. He's after you. Again, we'll talk about the armor of God in a moment, but first of all, here, we need to recognize that the evil one, does have a plan, and he wants to take us out. And by the way, the evil one doesn't have to destroy you to be successful in undermining you. All he really has to do is bring you to a point where you are completely ineffective for the cause of Christ. Beloved, we need to stand firm against the plans and the schemes of the evil one, knowing full well that we need to, as Peter says in 1 Peter 5:8, we need to be sober-minded, be watchful. Why? Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. It's just like, you know, a bunch of gazelle or antelope, and the lion's out there kind of waiting for the one straggler to take that one out. We need to see things the way they really are as we stand firm against the plans of the evil one, resting in his strength. Thirdly here, seeing things the way they are, knowing that we are fighting an intense spiritual battle. That's the reality behind everything we're dealing with. Knowing that we are fighting an intense spiritual battle, first of all here, not fighting each other. Paul points this out, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. But man, it seems like we are sometimes, doesn't it? It seems like it's the people that's opposing us, right in front of us. But in reality, there's something behind the people that we find ourselves in opposition to. We shouldn't be fighting each other. You know, if someone broke into my house, I wouldn't start attacking Kathy, would I? No, we would work together to overcome the intruder. This happens far too often in families and in churches. Instead of dealing with the spiritual issues at hand, we start attacking each other. Instead of fighting with each other, we need to walk in love. This is what Paul says to the church in Ephesus in Ephesians 4. It won't be on the screen, but listen closely. Paul says, therefore, having put away falsehood, let's put away the falsehood. Let's speak truth to each other. Let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Yeah, there are going to be things that make you a little hot, that really frustrate you, but you know what? Don't sin. Be angry, but don't sin. In other words, find the awesome thing to do instead of the destructive thing to do when you're frustrated or hurt or angry. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. In verse 29 of Ephesians 4, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. If only we'd speak in such a way that we're bringing grace every time we talk. Think back over this last week. Are there times when you spoke where you weren't bringing grace? Is it possible, as you were talking this week a few times, that you might have grieved the Holy Spirit? Paul goes on to say, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Oh, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. He goes on to say in chapter 5, verse 1, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Oh, that we would be a fragrant offering to God in how we love each other as we walk with Christ, speaking the truth in love, keeping short accounts. Don't let your head hit the pillow before you've dealt with things. Attack problems, not people. Act rightly. Don't react unbiblically. Let's not be fighting each other in the spiritual battles that we face. Secondly here, knowing that we are fighting an intense spiritual battle, fighting against evil spiritual forces. Here in verse 12, Paul outlines what we're facing. It's an incredible list. It's not just one bad devil. It's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So there's two things being talked about here in terms of categories. There's the who of the issue, and then there's the where of the issue. In terms of the who, spiritual rulers of darkness, arche, these rulers in the Greek, the chief magistrate, the power, the principalities, those who rule, those who lead evil, the origin of evil, which is the devil himself, along with his minions. Leadership in evil, the devil and his highest ranking demons. Beloved, you need to understand that there is a real spiritual battle. There is a real devil, and he has demons. They are fallen angels who want to mess with you and take you for a ride. Not only that, but the spiritual authorities of darkness. The spiritual authorities of darkness, the general forces of evil, the devil and his minions. That's the who. But then there's the where. They're cosmic powers of darkness. This particular Greek phrase, kosmokrator, the world ruler, the epitaph of Satan, the lord of the world, prince of this age, the devil and his demons are waging war. Where? Cosmically, on earth. And on top of that, the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places, they're actually waging war against God in heaven as well. Beloved, we need to see things the way they are. Resting in his strength, standing firmly against the plans of the evil one, knowing that we are fighting an intense spiritual battle. Now, the good news is we're not left alone. As we said a moment ago, we have access to the Holy Spirit within us to fight this battle. But on top of that, we know that objectively, but subjectively, there's a response. There's some things that we can do having to do with the armor of God, that we can protect ourselves in the middle of that which rages around us. So secondly this morning, not only seeing how things really are, but secondly, doing all we can to make things better. And how do we do that? How do we do all we can to make things better? By putting on the full armor of God. So that's our first point here under this heading, putting on the whole armor of God. Because now, twice now, the Apostle Paul says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Because if you don't, you're going to be in trouble. There should be no chinks in the armor, no weak spots. Those of you who are Lord of the Rings fans or the Hobbit fan, right? You remember Smaug, the great dragon, right? He had a chink in his underbelly armor. It was that chink that ended up being his demise when he was finally taken out. Similarly for all of us, be careful not to have any chinks in your armor. Make sure you've got everything on, that it's in good repair. Can you imagine, you know, Mahomes going out to play football today with the Super Bowl with no uniform on, right? How long would he last? One hit, you're out. Suit up. Put the whole armor on. Don't just put a little bit on, put it all on. Well, what should I put on? Well, before we look at that list, not only should we put it on, it says in verse 13, and having done all to stand firm, put on the whole armor of God, doing all we can to stand firm, having done all. Have you done all? We got work to do, don't we? Yeah, I want to stand. I want to stand in the fight. Yeah, but, you know, I'll be all right. It's very easy to get a little listless, a little lethargic, find ourselves sitting, resting on the sideline, not doing all we possibly can. We're uncommitted. We become wishy-washy. We become, as the scripture says, are you ready? We become slothful. You familiar with the sloth? Here, I'm gonna do my imitation of a sloth. Yeah, it was. You see it? Sloth moves really slow, right? You know, John Owen in his biblical theology, he's got this opening matter. By the way, you have to understand this guy. John Owen, from 1652 to 1657, he was the vice chancellor of Oxford. This particular document was published in Latin in 1661. This is old stuff! But man, it seems like he's talking right to us. This brilliant man of God, he talks in the front matter here, which is an extended chunk of the book before you ever start any theology. He talks to the student of theology and he talks to them concerning the issue of sloth. Why does he do that? Because the Bible talks about sloth. Listen to this. Just a paragraph. First, we must face up to the factor of sloth, he writes, by which we may observe some students, and no small number of them at that, growing weary of their work. It is easy to point the finger at this evil, but if I were to set out fully all that might be brought forward for its condemnation, my discussion would be endless. Such is the shame of sloth, that even the most slothful take the name very badly and are forced to mitigate its effects so far as concerns their reputation and self-interest. Indeed, they would join in its condemnation in word, if not indeed. I shall relieve myself of the burden of proving its evil nature and be content with exposing its hidden sources so as to encourage anyone to combat it who has determined not to let the fruit of his whole life be endangered by a single vice. The chief spring of sloth is indwelling sin. Ever itching for the pursuit of pleasure, any mind that is enslaved to lust, desire, and wantonness is unable to give serious attention to our subject. If you're not temperate and industrious, your labors will be in vain. All servitude enfeebles the mind, most of all slavery to sin. Considering that a mind which has surrendered to sensuality will shrink from all mental effort, and that the vices of the body hold the mind in the chains of darkness. So by contrast, a man dedicated to a life of study in things divine and spiritual will recoil from the flesh and from sloth. Sadly, you will see about you many men who should be dedicated to the study and expounding of God's word, but who hold their positions by any number of pretexts, names, and titles, who are just like worn-out horses. No goad will force them onward in the course they have begun. Their fallen condition by nature has been compounded with new sins. How you doing? Are you standing firm, doing all you can to stand firm? Or are you just kind of, well, I'm just going to wait and see how things go? Stand firm. What does that mean? Having done all to stand firm. The psalmist tells us in the very first psalm, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. That person, we're told, is like a tree planted by streams of water. Planted, a tree, standing firm. That yields its fruit in season and its leaf does not wither. And all that he does, he prospers. Man, that's how I want my life to be like that. I want to prosper in life. I'm not talking about bank accounts and cool cars. I'm talking about overcoming evil and doing what's right. Bringing honor and glory to our Heavenly Father. Loving him, loving others. So, beloved, put on the whole armor of God. Doing all we can to stand firm. Thirdly here, putting on truth. Notice in verse 14, we now begin the armor listing. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. Put your belt on. The belt of truth. Now, technically in the Greek, the way we would talk about this is the idea of girding up your loins. It's foundational. What's the first thing you put on in the morning? It's your underwear. I'm sorry, that's what it is. And you want a belt to hold it on so you don't get entangled in your drawers trying to run, trying to fight. It's foundational. What's foundational? Truth. Truth is the foundation of everything you're going to put on here. And quite frankly, isn't it truth that is the foundation of all that we hold to and believe in? Putting on truth. Why? Why is that so important? because we know who our God is in light of truth. Paul says to the Corinthians, for all the promises of God find their yes in him. Did you hear that? All the promises of God. All the promises of God. God's not up there going, well, I don't know if I'm going to come through on that one. I don't know. All the promises from him are yes. Absolutely. I said I was going to do that. Count on it. They are yes in him. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen. Oh, so be it to God for his glory. We're told by the writer of Hebrews in 10:23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promises faithful, oh, it's his truth. His truth is something we can hope on. We know he is faithful. He's going to come through for us. Put your belt on. Fourthly here, putting on righteousness. Verse 14, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Breastplate, piece of armor. Historically, sometimes it's not so big. Sometimes it's the whole thing. But what's it protecting? What's it guarding? Your heart. Your vital organs. The breastplate of righteousness. Do you understand what's at stake here? Do you realize what this is tied to? Having put on the breastplate, that which protects your heart is associated with righteousness. You want to guard your heart? Do the right thing. Solomon writes, Proverbs 4, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Wow, isn't that true? The last thing I want is my heart to be corrupted or to be defiled. I don't want any of the valves to go, right? I want everything to be pumping and circulating because it's the wellspring of life. And that happens through doing what's right. So you sometimes think, well, I need to go find that breastplate, put it on. You want to put the breastplate on? Do the right thing and honor God. Ready to share the gospel in verse 15. Verse 15, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. What does this mean? We need to be ready to share the gospel. Are you ready? Do you have your shoes on? Are you ready? Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, I charge you, Timothy, in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to what? To the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, Timothy, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Are you ready to share the gospel? Well, you know, I know other people can't. Well, get ready. Prepare yourself. Put your shoes on. Years ago, I was with a youth group, and we were traveling from northern Wisconsin back to southern Wisconsin. And we were at this camp all week, and now everybody wants to get in the van. We want to go home, and we're ready to go home. And we told everybody as we're leaving town, because you know how it is way up north in Wisconsin, when you leave a town, there's not going to be another town for a while. And sure enough, we're leaving town, and we're about 5 minutes out, and I'm driving the van with all these kids in it. This one little girl in the back goes, we're 5 minutes out of town, and we're not going to see another town for a long time. I got to go to the bathroom. Come on, work with me. And so now it's a panic, you know. Well, you okay for a while? Or is this an emergency? I'm good for a little while. Okay, great. So we're going to cruise a little further. I'm looking for somewhere to stop. There's nothing. A few minutes later, I really got to go. Great. Okay, we're looking for anything. And, you know, sure enough, in Wisconsin, we finally came across a bar. Okay, that's all we got. There's a bar. So I pull over, you know, pull over, there's the bar. I can have a couple, you know, other girls go with her into this place and some guys, you know, to make sure she's safe to go into the bar and use the restroom. And when I pull, you know, screeching halt, van stops, there's, you know, dust and debris. I stop and I go, okay, jump out, go. I don't have my shoes on yet. I'm like, what? You made this huge emergency and you're not even ready. It's a joke in our house now, you know, if we're traveling, you got your shoes on? Are you ready? We need to get our shoes on, ready to share the gospel. Are you ready? Sixthly here, exercising faith. Paul goes on to say, don't miss this, in all circumstances, how many? All. Take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all, how many? All the flaming darts of the evil one. Are you hearing that? The shield of faith. You know, a lot of times we think of the shield of faith as that thing, you know, here's the shield. I've got a shield, you know. That's that thing I hide behind so I don't, you know, I don't get attacked, nothing. But you know what? The shield of faith, when we really believe, it can actually be an offensive weapon, right? Bam! No, I believe, I trust him. And we blast opponents out of our way with the shield of faith. It could be an offensive weapon, not just defense. The writer of Hebrews says, and without faith, don't miss this, without faith it is impossible to please him. Oh. Oh. Do you want to be pleasing to him? Are you exercising faith? We could worship in this for a few minutes. Let's think about this. Did I please him this week? Did I actually exercise faith in some way? Did I step out in faith, trusting him because he is God? Bam. Protecting our minds next. Verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. Again, I think of the Super Bowl, these guys going out there with no helmets. That would be horrible, right? The helmet of salvation. What does the helmet protect? It protects our minds. It protects how we think about things. Paul writes to the Corinthian church, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Are you guarding your mind? We live in a culture that, well, whatever pops in your mind, boom, just say it. Really? Maybe you shouldn't say it. Are you guarding your mind? And by the way, it is your mind. It's your mind to make it think what you want it to think. Well, I just can't stop thinking about that. Well, it's your mind. You're not a puppet. Somebody's pulling strings. You can choose what you want to think about. If you got a stinky attitude about things, we all know that an attitude is a mindset. So if you need to change your attitude, you need to change your mind. It's not complicated. Not only that, Paul gives an additional admonition in Philippians 4. Do not be anxious about anything, he says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And what will happen? When we seek him, what happens? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts, breastplate, and your minds in Christ Jesus. He goes on to say, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What's wrong? What we're wrestling with is we don't work at that. We take our helmet off and we just let anything come in. Instead of guarding our hearts, guarding our minds, what's true and what's awesome. What are you listening to? What are you watching? You know, the media thinks it can have it both ways. You say, well, the media doesn't really affect anything. But man, we're going to use that to advertise all our products. Well, which is it? Yes, they know what they're doing. They're affecting all of us. And there's some things we're just allowing into our heads. We listen to the cool movie. Oh, that's a cool song, man. Wait a minute. I'm not on the highway to hell. Oh, no. Maybe I shouldn't listen to that song. Maybe that's a bad song. Click. Maybe that's from the pit of hell. Oh, I can listen to it. It doesn't affect me. Oh, really? You're that sharp? I'm not. By the way, the advertisers don't think so. Oh, protecting our minds. Whatever is just, whatever is honorable, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And what you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. You want to be at peace? Turn off all the garbage, would you? Protecting your minds. And then the last piece of armor, in verse 17. Take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We need to skillfully wield God's word. Now, quite frankly, this is our second offensive weapon, and this is how this works. You got your shield of faith, you got your sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Bam! Seen that? Well, I believe, deal with that. This is what's true. Fight the fight, skillfully wielding God's word. For the word of God is living. It's alive. Why is that true? Whose words are these? It's the word of God. Who gave us these words? Jesus, of course, himself is the word. But the words were imparted to us through the Holy Spirit. Men moved by the Spirit spoke from God, we're told. His words on fire for us. It's living, it's active, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow. Man, it goes down to the bone, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Oh, let's wield God's word well. Paul admonishes Timothy. This young pastor, he says, do your best to present yourself to God, Timothy, as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth, wielding it well. Again, if you don't know God's word, if you never pick it up, you won't be able to wield anything. And then lastly here, always praying for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Paul says in verse 18 of our passage, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints at all times. Beloved, we need to be praying for each other instead of fighting each other. Let's pray for each other. Let's lift each other up. Let's care for each other. Some of us are walking around here who are walking wounded, been hurt by other people, other circumstances. Oh, that we come alongside them, pray for them, care for them, and bind them up and restore them. Paul calls us to pray without ceasing. And by way of a beautiful closing to all that we've discussed, Paul writes to the church in Corinth. He says, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So don't quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless as the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. All those years ago when Kath and I were in Budapest, by his grace, he saw us through everything. We held firm. And by God's grace, we were even able to stay a whole extra year in ministry there. We thought we were going to have to go home immediately, but the Lord blessed us a whole nother year. For us to find victory in our lives, beloved, not only as individuals, but as a church, we need to see things the way they really are. We need to rest in his strength as we stand firm against the plans of the evil one, knowing that we are fighting an intense spiritual battle. We shouldn't be fighting with each other, but we should fight together against the evil spiritual forces that surround us. Beloved, we need to do all we can to make things better in our church, in our lives, putting on the whole armor of God, standing firm in our pursuit of truth, and being careful to walk in righteousness. We need to be ready to share the gospel as we exercise our faith, protecting our minds as we skillfully wield God's word in our fight against evil. We need to constantly pray for our brothers and sisters as we fight this battle together, binding each other up, caring for each other. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What do you need to work on here? What chinks in your armor are you seeing? What do you need to put on? You missing your shoes? They're over by the door. Protect your heart? Got your belt on? Got your helmet? Got his word ready to go? Pull it out of the sheet. Let's go. Would you please stand as we pray? Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, help us to see things the way they really are here. That there's an intense spiritual battle going on around us. If we were to pull back the curtain, we'd see demonic forces as well as heavenly forces waging war over the souls of men. Lord, we thank you that for those who are in Christ, there's incredible protection with the Holy Spirit in us to do battle. But Lord, help us to take up the armor of God as you've called us to, that we might stand firm, doing everything we can. Let's not be slothful. Oh God, help us in this, that we might not shrink back, that we push forward in the battle, that we wouldn't be in retreat. But Lord, we know that we can't do this in our own strength. We need your righteousness. We need your salvation. We need your word, your protection. Lord, help us to exercise the faith that you've blessed us with, that we might quench all the fiery darts that are heading right at us. And Lord, may we lift each other up in prayer, loving on each other, caring for each other, being more interested in our brothers and sisters than in ourselves as we wage battle. So Lord, thank you for this place. Thank you for this church. Thank you for this sanctuary, a place where we can come together, bind up our wounds, and be ready to be sent out. Help us to get our shoes on, Lord, and to get into the battle, knowing that ultimately the battle belongs to you. Thank you, Lord, for your truth. And now we ask that you'd bless us as we go. And Lord, as we gather together in a moment for a meal, Lord, we just ask that you'd bless this meal. But more important than the meal, Lord, that you would bless our fellowship, that we'd receive each other, that we'd embrace each other, uphold each other, care for each other, as we know would be pleasing to you. Thank you, Lord, for this place. Thank you for this body of believers, your body, the church, the bride of Christ. Oh, purify us, Lord. Make us ready for the banquet. We pray all this in your Son's wonderful and awesome name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Have a fantastic day.